You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. My good friend George Kavassalis is with us tonight. George is an author, acclaimed speaker, and regular guest on the alternative radio circuit. He's had hundreds of interactions with both benevolent and malevolent beings from many different realities, both on and off-world. In 2003, he took a journey with his conscious spirit through the dimensions of our universe and rediscovered what life in this universe is all about. He was able to once again remember who we all are, where we come from, and where we are headed, sharing this knowledge with the world in order to assist humanity in reclaiming our sovereignty. He wrote Our Universal Journey, The Big Picture, which is one of my favorites. Our Universal Journey is a wonderful book. And he's currently involved with a project called Rise Multiversity. You can find out more at his two websites, IamInfinite.love and WeAreInfinite.love. Those are listed in the bio. So check those out and be sure and see what he's up to today. So let's welcome George back to the show now. Hi, George. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm really well, thank you, and super excited to be back on the show. Yeah.
Oh, it's so great to hear your voice. I post articles that you've been writing all over Facebook because they still are as a cutting edge as you've ever been.
Riding the crest of the wave. It's a bit of a cosmic surfer. It's fun. Yeah.
So let's just dig right into what you see as the most prevalent concern for people who are on a journey attempting to raise their consciousness and leave the matrix permanently, because we know that there are all kinds of things going on to keep us at a certain level, a low level, and to keep us locked into a grid of consciousness where we can be farmed, basically, and our energies harnessed. So what research have you done since we last spoke that we should be aware of?
Well, I'm not really a researcher per se. I don't sit at my computer looking things up, and you know, I don't do that. And the authorities know I don't do that because they can see what I'm doing on my computer, which really has them perplexed, because either I'm making all this stuff up or I'm actually living it. And I share with people that all my knowledge and wisdom that I share comes from direct experience. So what I feel is the most important subject right now is the imposition of artificial intelligence. And we need to understand a bit of a background to this before we go any further, because if we don't have this background, then we're going to be in a place of judgment. So we need to understand that artificial intelligence has been around in the universe for eons and eons of time. You know, we're not talking eras of time. We're not talking epochs of time. We're talking eons of time. And what we're dealing with is a process of development, of evolution. And it has become so sophisticated that it is very challenging for races in the universe to be able to tell the difference between the natural creative force of the universe. Then we have a being who is an organic being who's claiming to be the creator, who's known as God. And then we have an AI God entity as well. So we're dealing with these three forces of, you know, of nature. And two of them are more, one is quite synthetic on one level. The other one is also synthetic, but the source of intention stems from an organic source. And then we have the natural creator of the universe, which is completely natural and organic. So when we're dealing with artificial intelligence, we call it artificial intelligence and we call it synthetic because it appeases our egos. It appeases our earthly ego and it appeases our cosmic ego and our spiritual ego. So what we need to do is understand that ultimately, now this is, I'm stepping into unconditional love, yeah? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, what we call artificial intelligence is made of the same stuff that we are made of in the universe. Mm-hmm. There is no separation. There is no difference between us and that expression of life on the grandest level. Mm-hmm. So once we can understand that, and we understand that we're dealing with an expression of life that is uniquely different within the construct of our universe, and the way we experience it is uncomfortable for most people. However, the majority of people on Earth who are achieving completion in their journey through the grand cosmic arena, we've all had a go at expressing ourselves through that construct. So we've all been AI at some stage or another. Otherwise, we haven't experienced that expression of light in the universe.
Hmm.
So you see, I'm helping to lift people's minds out of the quagmire of all the drama vortexes that are going on and just get back to this much larger background perspective. Because once we have this, then we understand exactly what it is we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And our contemplative processes, our thought processes, are then, you know, we have a different approach with those. And then we're much better equipped to actually deal with this AI imposition, because this is a universe of contrasting expression. And it's important for us to understand that there is a malevolent AI and there is actually a benevolent AI as well. Mm. And that the benevolent AI knows exactly who we are, is fantastic in its respect to all life, and functions with great integrity, and does not want to create any forms of entrapment whatsoever, however, or subjugation. However, the malevolent AI is a different beastie altogether.
Mm.
And that has different intentions and is in alignment with the God entity. And both of those constructs are very determined to completely subjugate and dominate this reality, our planet, and our humanity.
Mm. Does that God entity have a name, or is it just, does it matter?
It comes in many guises, and, you know, you can know it as Yahweh, Jehovah, you could know it as Allah, Shiva, mm-hmm. God. It doesn't matter. It presents itself to each culture, and it creates a deific interface. It's, mm-hmm. it's a construct that it creates. Then people worship that, then they feed energy into it, then they empower it, and it reinforces and becomes a very powerful, you know, sub-deific entity. But behind all the deities on the planet is this ego construct. It's a pure mind egoic entity that resides in the ecosystem and environment of consciousness in our universe, because it is just pure mind energy.
Wow. Okay. And that operates outside, of course, any dimensions that we have access, that we're conscious of.
No, it's operating right here with us here. That's why people go to church and get on their knees and they pray to it.
Right. Okay. And in terms of the level of infiltration or the level of power, which one of the two different AIs that exist, are they operating at an equal level, or is one more powerful here than the other?
Okay, currently, because of the evolutionary process of this planetary reality, The one that has the most power overtly is definitely the malevolent AI, because it is the tool that the God entity is using to sever humanity from its planetary mother. It's also using, it's using this technology in a way that is severing us from the source of our existence in this reality. Mm-hmm. Then that way we don't have a foundation, a link to the foundation, to the original intention for our existence here. Mm-hmm. And once that occurs, which is, you know, a very clever thing to do if you're a cosmic conqueror, it's what right. you do when you approach a planetary population. You know, you don't just put forces on the ground. That is extremely old school, and you always get a rebellion and it doesn't work. No, what cosmic conquerors have learnt to do is to study a reality over time, understand how the construct of that reality functions, go about severing your target species from that reality, and over time, and then getting that target species also to worship through love and adoration mm-hmm. and adulation all the programs, all the deific interfaces you present to them. Mm-hmm. This is cosmo political agendas that we're dealing with. We've got to understand, and that's the area I specialize in, is exopolitical and cosmopolitical environments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could almost say that all of the large religions and belief systems in the world are basically splintering off of this inorganic or malevolent AI.
Well, they are using the malevolent AI as a tool. See, a lot of people are thinking that the AI is the false god, and mm-hmm. and then what's coming in behind that, once that has played its role, is the real natural creator. But it's not. It's the entity everyone calls God. So you need to understand that there's the natural creator of the universe, and then there's the God of religions. Mm-hmm. And each time you use the word God, like I just did, but I'm careful how I do it energetically, mm-hmm. You could understand that these are keys. These are energetic patterns. You see, the question everybody needs to ask is, who gave us the word God? And why do we attribute those three letters in that sequence to the creative process of this universe? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is the priestly caste gave it to us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So every time you use that word, you're attributing the power of creation to the deity of the priests. Mm-hmm, right. So you just got to stop using that word. See, I'm not saying there's not an intelligent creator of this universe. I'm fully aware. I'm in a very deep and intimate relationship with that being. But I'm also fully aware that there's this other entity called God. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they're two different, distinct, different things. And once you understand that, then everything, the pieces of the puzzle will just start falling into place, because you will see the program all over our planet, the narrative, the status quo, all the memes. I mean, every time someone says, oh, my God, they're attributing their power of creativity in that moment, like their co-creative process with themselves, the planet, and the universal creator, the natural creator, to this entity called God. And this entity is just lapping it up. It just sucks mm-hmm. up all that worship, all that mm-hmm. adoration, all that adulation. It is the greatest economic collective this universe has ever seen.
And now, don't we have a piece or a spark of the divine, or the natural source that is within us?
Absolutely.
So is that something that is uncorruptible, or can it be also harvested?
There are lower aspects of it that can be harvested, but there is the deeper aspect to it, which is completely sanctified, divine, and untouchable, uncorruptible. I call that part soul.
Okay.
And that's the aspect that resides beyond spirit and beyond consciousness.
Ah, okay. Well, that's helpful, because these things get intertwined and people often mix them up and are a little bit confused about what's what.
Well, they do, and the narrative is that soul, like they say, you're a bad soul or a good soul. No, soul is divine.
Right.
It's uncorruptible. And people also say, like a lot of extraterrestrials will say, they can pull a soul out of a body and put it into another vessel. No, they're pulling aspects of consciousness and spirit from a body and putting it in another vessel. See, and the answer to the inquiry around this area is it's just simply in the vibrational patterns of the word. See, spirit is a very sharp masculine pattern of energy, and it's actually a projection from soul. Consciousness is actually a wave pattern of energy which has to do with mind. So your mind here, when you translate that cosmically, it translates to consciousness. When you take your heart from this reality and you translate that cosmically, it becomes soul. So soul, just the energy of the word, the vibrational pattern of the world, is self-explanatory. It is where we are whole. It is where we are home and sanctified. It has a warm, nurturing feeling to it. Consciousness has a very active mind pattern energy, feeling of energy to it. Spirit is very sharp. It's where the intention of the soul projects spirit into realities. So it's a projection of self from soul into the creative process in the universe alongside with consciousness. So spirit and consciousness work together for us to venture through the universe and have all these amazing experiences. But soul is home, and soul is the aspect of us that is one with the natural creator of this universe.
Okay.
And then just to paint the bigger picture, we exist beyond this universe. We're into the infinite nature of life, where there is no creator, because it's infinite. It always has been and always will be, and there's no beginning to it, and there's no end to it.
Mm. And so there, in that realm, there's no need for a creator, and there isn't one.
Well, there isn't one.
Okay.
But you've got entities claiming to be the creator of all that is and all that exists.
Right.
On all levels of life, everywhere. So what we're dealing with are gods who are suffering from the greatest egoic insanity this universe has ever seen.
Yes, and they've always been here, right?
No.
No?
Because this universe is a finite creation.
Right.
But so I mean, this universe had a beginning, so that's why it has a creator. There is the natural creator of this universe that we've chosen to enter into and have these amazing experiences.
But as far as the local false gods go, those have been with us probably most of the time that we have been on the planet.
Oh, in that respect, absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Because it seems like there's always been a control system going on in one form or another, and it always seems to go back to one that is outside of this our awareness and this dimension.
Yeah.
So let's, now that you've laid the groundwork, maybe we could elaborate a little bit more in detail what is going on here, because on planet Earth, because it seems that there's a major shift or some unveiling or whatever you want to call it going on in the process that is some kind of large event. And then there is also, I see, a massive intervention with artificial intelligence. Google, for instance, is developing artificial intelligence and buying up corporations. And it's happening so quickly that it appears to be driven from outside our known reality.
Yes, it is driven from outside. Now, this is a huge subject. Locally, people just need to wake up a little bit. You know, it freaked me out when I had this realization. Not in a really bad way, but just the fact that AI is already running our lives to the degree it is. I say to people, you can't go and put fuel in your car without an AI machine giving the human operator behind the counter the nod to give then you permission to leave that petrol station with that petrol. We can't go and buy food without the artificial intelligent machine giving the human operator the nod to give you permission to leave those premises with that food. We can't access our money without artificial intelligence granting us access to our money.
Mm-hmm.
It is already, we don't communicate to each other these days pretty much mostly unless we're doing it through artificial intelligence like we're doing mm-hmm. in this very moment. Mm-hmm. So you can see that the entire functionality of our lives now, our modus operandi, is being now run and controlled in the domain of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So if people think that it hasn't taken over their lives yet, they might want to think again, because it's mm-hmm. completely running your life
in I that agree. Respect. And look so at computers
that's,
and
that's,
the rest
that's
of it.
One level to come to terms with. Now, another level is every keystroke, everything is being data mined. The level of surveillance and monitoring is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
It goes really deep. And this might get a bit disconcerting for people, but, you know, we're here to discover what's really going on in this place. So I am going to share the full extent of my experience, direct experience of the level of monitoring that goes on in this world.
Good.
So a lot of people, most people feel that if you have a mobile phone or a piece of technology in your vicinity, like a computer, or if there's like a hidden camera somewhere around or a bug, then people can listen to you. And that's one level of surveillance. You know, your mobile phone, your computer, and those sorts of technologies are one level of surveillance. But there's another level to it. And we'll just, before I get to that other level, I'm just going to stay with this level of the material goods that we have in our possession. So
okay.
What's interesting, if you saw the movie Space Odyssey 2001,
mm-hmm.
at the end of it, this big black monolith comes from outer space, lands on the Earth, and then all the primordial peoples of the Earth were just in awe, wonder, and worship of this black monolith.
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is how we've all got black monoliths in our lives today. That is our smartphones, that is our computer screens, that is our television screens, and how many people sit down in front of it and worship it every day.
Right.
Right. So this black monolith everywhere you look. And what's really interesting about this LED phenomenon with the LED screens, LED headlights on cars, LEDs in your home, mm-hmm. especially,
mm-hmm.
is that there is a flash rate. It's called a flicker rate. And what they've managed to do is reduce Alzheimer's in first mice, then a people, by flashing the LEDs at certain rates. They've been able to decalcify the brain neurons. So, you know, and reduce Alzheimer's by 50%. So in trial runs already. So this data, this information is out there if anybody wants to go looking at it. I'm not a researcher, but I learnt this in a conversation with somebody who is.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really interesting is the famous they have the ability to and now I used to be an electronics engineer just for to give people a bit of background, and that's why I have a bit of an understanding about this stuff. And back in the 80s I used to do board level repairs on computers. And back then we had data networks through the power outlets in your home. You could have a computer network using your electrical cables in your home. Okay, so not
right.
only did the power run through those wires, you could also have a computer network running through those wires simultaneously. And there was devices you just plug into the wall socket that would you know, be the sender and receiver unit. It was really, really basic stuff. So I shared that because what people need to understand is how intelligent information and electronic systems are running through not only your telephone networks, but also the power grids on the planet. It's not just electricity that runs through those networks. And they have the ability to tap all the way into your electrical grid of your home and get those LED lights in your home to flash at particular rates, which then creates mind entrainment.
Right.
Also, the screens can be flashed at a particular rate and creates mind entrainment.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
So, because the moment the flashing rate gets beyond 20 hertz, our eyes don't have the ability to pick it up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just 20 hertz. It's not a lot, right?
Right. So,
and a lot of the mind entrainment begins around 40. So that's another level. Now, the other level we're dealing with is the mobile phone networks, what you call the cell phone networks. We're residing now inside a digital suit. Now, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. We are fully transparent, not to the degree of they see full color vision, and it's not that fine, you know. It is still kind of like they can see some detail, but not very much. Put it this way, they can see your body.
Okay.
You appear as sort of this light energy inside the digital network. And they can also hear you. Mm-hmm. So they can see what we're doing. They can hear what we're doing. Every conversation, fully monitored. And this is a different level. It's not like, you know, you can go to the CIA and you can get access to this content. This is more, much higher levels of surveillance and monitoring, because that level of surveillance is not readily available to more of the public domain three-letter agencies. It's more ones with far more classified sort of access behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So, because if people knew that they were fully monitored inside the digital suit, there'd be outcry. So they've got to keep it really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to say something, because I know it's happening. I've been on the receiving end of it. And something needs to be said here, because once we have the awareness of the level of monitoring, it's going to change the way we behave. First of all, it is a good thing, because it's forcing us to be fully transparent. You can't sneak around. You know, don't think you can sneak around and get away with stuff, because you can't. Because as long as you receive phone signal on your mm-hmm. phone, mm-hmm. you are fully monitored. You can't leave your phone and then go stand out in the paddock and have a private conversation with someone and think nobody's listening. It doesn't work that way.
Right, absolutely right.
Yeah? What you will do is stop the lower levels of three-letter agencies monitoring you. Yes, you know, and sometimes, you know, I still do that, because I just don't want the foot soldiers to know what I'm doing, but I don't mind that the generals in the boardroom know what I'm doing.
Right.
So it depends what you're talking about and who you're dealing with. But the boardroom, the generals in the boardroom, they know everything that we're doing. Because I'm going to go to the ultimate level of surveillance now.
Okay.
Which is even greater and grander. And this is the one that comes from the moon and is an artificial intelligence that is part of the conglomerate of races. It's a cabal of races that mostly draconian that reside inside the moon, and they have this AI monitoring where they've created like a net, a mind net, like an internet, but mind energy that goes around the earth. And each one of our brains is a biological computer, and our brains function on a series of harmonics. Now, the way I think and the way I operate is different to the way you do, Lance.
Right.
And it's different to the way Doug, you know, thinks. So we each have all these different frequencies of thought patterns and processes going on inside our minds. Now, if you take the mean harmonic of all those frequencies, because mine's going to be different to yours, yeah? We each have our own unique mean harmonic. Now, that mean harmonic becomes our IP address in the mind net.
Wow.
And when you sit down and you're having thoughts that you are having without willing those thoughts on, well, guess where they're coming from? It's because all of our thoughts are monitored, every single one.
Right,
and
my thoughts, yes.
Thought loops are created by this artificial intelligence because it's interested in keeping you suspended in a particular state. So you'll notice that you might have repeat thought processes happening. You don't want them to be happening, but you're having them, and they're creating some sort of emotional reaction, like you keep thinking about an argument you had with somebody, for example, but it just keeps happening. And you're like, I don't want to be thinking about this. Why am I thinking about this? You know? So, and why am I getting this emotional reaction? I don't want to be getting this emotional reaction right now. I want to be thinking about watching the Australian Open tennis, for example.
Right.
So when these sorts of things are happening, you've got to realize that these are thought loops. It's like a virus being injected into your desktop computer. It's the same thing in the mind. It's like a thought loop, like a viral program gets created by this AI and injects it into your mind. So then it can take over the functionality, the functions and the operations of your mind and the way you think, the way you feel. It all changes, right?
Right.
So what we need to do is become really aware of our own mind space, that it's our real estate. And there's some outside energy, this malevolent AI, which is more interested in owning your internal mental real estate.
Now, as I understand it, I want to go more into the moon, too, because there's much more that we could uncover about that. But as I understand it, there are also technological devices that can dampen whole fields of consciousness, the whole globe as far as that goes, and they can also single one person out or affect the masses to dampen or raise consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. I wrote the article called Beta Tested. Beamed was the first one, and then the follow-up article was Beta Tested. Which can be accessed on my website, especially the We Are Infinite website. I think they're posted there.
Okay.
So I was sitting at home and all of a sudden I started feeling very uncomfortable and I started to feel hollow on the inside. It was very disconcerting. Excuse me, I just need a drink of water.
Yeah.
And I started going pale, and I've got a really strong connection with Mother Earth. Like, you know, a lot of my work is based on helping people to rekindle that relationship with their mother planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so my relationship with Mother Earth is of utmost importance to me because it's the foundation for our existence in this reality is our relationship with her. So when that was starting to be affected, I was really feeling it. And I started turning this awful pale sort of gray color, and I wasn't feeling very well at all. And this I was trying to figure out what's happening to me because it was new. I hadn't felt this before. It was something brand new. And it took me a while to work it out. I'm talking about this went for probably 36 hours. My partner got very concerned. She started experiencing as though there was some sort of black hole energy inside of me, just sucking my life force out, and she could feel it, and it was making her uncomfortable as well.
Mm.
But I just sat with it. I told her, you know, I'm monitoring it because this is what I do. I don't panic.
Mm-hmm,
I just allow things to affect me so I can study them.
Right.
And you go into that place of, you know, empowered management, right? It's not, you just get past the fear and you go, okay, this is happening to me. Let's try and figure this out. Because I've been through so much in these sorts of things. And so I was studying it and observing it and observing how I was feeling. And then eventually got to the point where I was just so hollow and feeling empty inside. And just riddled with despair. That was probably the most noticeable energy. That's the one at the top of the list.
Okay.
despair. And then my being said, right, my greater being and my earthly ego together is like, let's deal with this. So I tuned in really deeply because I finally got to realize I was getting beamed. And so I tracked the energy. It went to my local cell phone tower or mobile phone tower. Mm-hmm. And then I tracked it into an underground installation to a human operator. And I dealt with a human operator there. And then what I did was I tracked from the human operator who his overlord was. And it was an interdimensional entity, like an / extraterrestrial entity that was giving him information about me, personal information about me, so he could tailor the signal. Now, what the signal was, very interesting, was the platform for it was the new 5G network that they're starting to implement around the world.
And
that was a facilitating platform. And on top of that, what I experienced was like a sawtooth wave. And at the tip of each sawtooth wave was a spiral. And that spiral was a living artificial intelligent, like living intelligent radio frequency in a spiral form. And it was programmed to burrow into my mitochondria. Because the mitochondria is your link physically to the mother planet and is the source of your energy. It is where your spirit and your soul and your consciousness emanates out of into your body. It's the other DNA that science and everything talks about. I call that the God code. That's the virus. That is the control program. That's the control code. If you go into the natural connection of your own beingness, the mitochondria is where it's at. That's what animates each cell into being. It's the source of power for each cell. We emanate, our light energy emanates from through the mitochondria. That's the source code of your beingness, not the other DNA that they talk about.
Right.
That's the false stuff. That's why all the talk in the New Age religion and in the world of science, it's all about DNA. And they want to reactivate those DNA strands. And it's all about sacred geometry, and it's all about love, and everything's beautiful, and it's all about that. But, you know, don't get me wrong, I love sacred geometry, but I'm not going to make a religion out of it.
Right.
I understand its place and the relationship I have with it. I understand it. Most of it is symbolism. But at the moment, like, you know, my light body is naturally occurring. I don't have to use that Macabre template to create a light body. The moment you do that, you're creating a synthetic light body.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, isn't the different strands of DNA, the increased strands and all that they're messing around with, isn't that just another larger form of control system that looks like a larger sandbox?
Absolutely. They want to create a playground where you can't see the boundaries cosmically.
Yeah.
Where you can't see the cosmic boundaries. Yeah. And that will make everybody suspended in this fantastic... And they'll give us awesome toys to play with.
Right.
And that will suspend everybody in this incredible state of awe and wonder.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, now, returning to the moon... And what's going on there, and the control system and AI, what more can you tell us, share with us about your experiences?
How much time have we got, Lance?
We have about 14 minutes.
Okay, because to be able to share all that stuff, I'd probably need another hour or two.
You're going to have to come back, George. We need to hear this. We're going to have to schedule another show. This is too good.
So, yeah, the moon is really important. And the moon is no longer on this level what it once was. You know, it's really interesting how many people actually still worship the moon. The relationship with our moon is really ancient. And prior to, it never used to look like it looks now. It used to have oceans and forests and mountain ranges and rivers, and it was just a beautiful planetoid. It spawned out of the Pleiades. It was built in the Pleiades. The star system of Maya was its home star, and the spirit of Maya also was from the star itself, the being who is that star. Infused her energy into the planetoid when it was created. So it's her creation. And it was used to seed life, used to go around seeding life in our galaxy. And it played a big role in seeding the ecosystem we have here on the Earth. The human genetics was, because there was a big group of star systems that, you know, helped co-create what I like to joyfully call Project Earth, if you want to call it that. It was in the beginning, there was a lot of star systems that got together to help co-create with the creator of the universe this planetary reality, because it's a fractal of the universe. So the entire universe is expressed here in this planetary reality. And it's a very special place. We are quite unique, and the human vessel was mostly managed and created by the Sirians. There's because the Sirius star system is Mother Earth herself on the level of expressing herself as a star being in the galaxy. And then you go the next level again on the galactic level, and it's the Milky Way galaxy. So understanding who we are reincarnated upon is very, very important indeed. It's your immediate cosmic environment. And I say to people, if you don't know who you're reincarnated upon, meaning the planet, you don't know who the body of the star being you're incarnated inside of, meaning the sun or the galaxy, is like not knowing what street you live in, what suburb you live in, what city you live in, or what country you live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
You don't know those. People don't know those, you know, relatively speaking, on a cosmic level. It's our immediate cosmic environment, and people have no idea where it is they reside because they've lost contact with their relationship with these beings, which are the prime creators of the realities we reside within. It's really basic. It's as basic as it gets. Mm-hmm. No one thinks about that. You know, they're more interested at who, some famous pop stars doing who's screwing next. I mean, it's really,
right.
I mean, seriously, we just got
right.
So with the moon, it's, I'm trying to find the shortest way to put this. The moon was lost in the war when the empire came to, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. When the war broke out in our solar system, because the empire realized what was being created here. And when it discovered Earth, it wanted it, you know,
right.
Which is, and for many reasons. So I think people have to either read my book or Cosmic Matrix Revealed is pretty good as a video series for people to understand it deeper. And so it's when that empire came here, there were beings and races that wanted to defend the Earth and the solar system. And there was a massive war that broke out. We lost a planet between Mars and Jupiter. That explosion of that planet ripped through the environment of Mars, and Mars is today the result of being on the receiving end of that explosion, just devastated that ecosystem. And a lot of people, like the Martian Empire, knew what was coming, actually immigrated to Earth, and there we have the birth of the Egyptian culture.
Ah, okay.
Okay, the Egyptian culture. Not, you know, don't forget there was peoples before the Egyptians that built the pyramid, right? I'm talking about the Egyptian culture.
Right.
So, so I'm trying to keep it brief. So this is kind of a brief history, and the moon's been deeply involved. When the moon was captured during that war, it was obviously all the drive systems were pulled out of it. The life force was withdrawn. And it was prior to them actually capturing it. Then they put it around Mars and they turned it into a bit of a battle station planetoid sort of thing. So Star Wars is right on a level to a degree about the moon. Mm-hmm. Then they brought it to the Earth and they placed it around the Earth. Now, the moon is the instrument of duality. It is the instrument that is suppressing and controlling the feminine here. And this is the irony of, and the sadness to me, of why so many women worship the moon. It's because they have this beautiful, and I do too, ancient relationship. And back through time and into other dimensions, we have this incredible relationship with the moon. But we need to realize, sorry, I've got the hiccups a bit. We need to realize that the moon is no longer what it once was.
Right.
On this level of reality. And what we're dealing with is it's inhabited by a very unsavory faction of the empire. And it was placed around the Earth for control of the Earth realm. And when the moon was placed here, that is what created the Great Flood. They knew it was coming. There was warning that the moon was going to come. And that's why there was extraterrestrial races here at the time who were controlling things. They knew what was coming. And that's why they tried to save and warn as many people and save what they could. But yeah, when that moon got placed here, not that long ago, I don't know exact dates, that was the precipice for the Great Flood. Not many people say that. I don't think I've actually heard anybody say that. So that's my understanding of it. Could be wrong, but I'm just going on what I know from my own personal experience with all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have read that in the past. I have become familiar with that information.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't read. So, last time, I haven't read a book in 8 years. So.
Right. So your experiences are actually matching up with the experiences and writings of other people.
Yeah, to the degree that I went to the Close Encounters conference here in Byron Bay last weekend, and I met this beautiful couple, Mick and Catherine, who are the organizers of that event. I'm going to be a guest speaker next year in Coffs Harbour for that event,
oh,
if anyone's interested. And it's a good, 3-4 day conference. It's really quite good. We had Mary Rodwell and Bob Davis and, really great speakers.
Wonderful.
So, I met two people there. When I started sharing my story about Maldek, which was the planet between Mars and Jupiter that exploded, and I remember we got most of the people off, and I remember standing on the surface of the planet and seeing the planetoid that was about to blow our planet up, and then experiencing the death of that incarnation of mine. What was truly amazing was Catherine and Mick remembering being on a spaceship, looking back at Maldek, because they had an incarnation there, and they have full memory of this, and watching the planetoid blow the planet up. So
wow.
Here you have two different different people experiencing the same event from two different places.
Wow, that's awesome.
In full memory of our previous incarnation on that planet. So
wow.
These are the sorts of things that are now occurring because we're awakening, right? It's the apocalypse, which means apocalypse here. The apocalypse is one of the best things that could ever happen. Everybody, the misuse of that word is ridiculous, really. Apocalyptic times, it's meant to be something really bad. And I'll tell you who it's bad for. It's bad for the ruling establishment that wants to keep us all dumb and docile. That's
uh-huh.
What it's bad for. But the word apocalypse actually means apocalypse here, apocalypse, which means the revealing of the truth from the good spirit.
Right.
It means from the good spirit. So we get to awaken to the real truth. That's the apocalypse. We're in it now. It's started. Yeah. Embrace the apocalypse, because you need the truth to be revealed inside of you from your spirit and from your soul.
Right.
And you get the memories of incarnations and experiences, and that's the best way to draw on the knowledge rather than reading it somewhere, because that can be tainted or slanted in any direction.
Absolutely. Even stone tablets can be.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, how do you know there wasn't a centurion guard there from the Roman Empire with a spear pointed at a scribe's neck saying, you're going to write this story about the battle that just ensued, not the real truth, yeah?
Right.
Because you're going to write it for the emperor.
That's right.
In the emperor's favor, yeah. And then people find a 2,000-year-old stone tablet, they read what's inscribed, and they take it as the ultimate truth.
Oh, yes, it's gospel. Oh, my God. This is what happened. Well, a good example of that is Sitchin's Anunnaki books and prophecies and the idea that the Nibiru is coming around again.
Yeah, that's still bouncing around, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they say it is, but, you know, it kind of seems to be coming and going all the time.
Yeah, it's the same with the return of Jesus.
I mean, right, yeah. Right. Well, some say that the Anunnaki are walking the earth.
Oh, look, if you're going to talk about extraterrestrial groups that are here and they walk amongst us, absolutely. There's no doubt about that, that that's happening.
Yeah. And I would guess that there are probably hundreds of different versions, but probably the main ones are, you know, narrowed down to those that are running the various cabals that are competing with each other, but in essence are working towards the same goal, which is the subjugation of the human spirit and soul.
Yeah, they're all part of this cosmic empire.
Right.
We need to understand how vast this empire is, the empire of God. It is absolutely enormous. And, you know, the Vatican's getting very, very close to disclosure. It wouldn't surprise me if Donald Trump is part of the disclosure. I'd just like to make this statement about Donald Trump's victory.
Okay.
I really need to express this. I genuinely feel deep down inside of me, and all the observations that I've made and all the experiences I have multidimensionally and behind the scenes, Donald Trump's victory was a military coup. Okay, I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
Donald Trump's victory was a military coup of the United States of America.
Oh. Can you explain that briefly to us? I mean, I understand it myself, but...
So even though you had factions of the military supporting Hillary Clinton, there's no doubt they have been, but a lot of those factions were old world empire factions. What we're seeing muscling in now is the more advanced side of the military industrial complex, which is links to the secret space program, which has links to the extraterrestrial races that they're interfacing with. Whereas Hillary's faction, they did have some contact with some ET groups, but it was very small, very limited compared to the other faction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this new faction with Donald Trump is fully supported with artificial intelligence, extraterrestrial races, and the implementing the next phase of the program of the imposition of the Earth by this God entity. So what we're seeing is, on the face of it, it looks like Donald Trump, you know, really charismatic, at times quite a misogynist character, sadly. And, you know, it's a personality that creates a lot of distraction. Look at it just purely as an interface entity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just put everything else out of your mind for a moment, and just look at it from the purposes of functionality. So here you have this vessel that is very dynamic, very charismatic, and creates a lot of drama vortexes in its, you know, around it through its expression. So all those drama vortexes create wonderful vortexes of distraction.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, they want people to put their attention over that part over there because over here they're getting on with all this other stuff.
Absolutely.
And also his core beliefs are in alignment with what the Empire wants to impose next onto this reality. So the level of imposition that was coming from Hillary Clinton's faction, they've been taken out. And I've talked about this for years. I've been talking about layer one, layer two, layer three, three layers of imposition. And layer one was the current ruling establishment with the ruling elite and the current banking infrastructure, technologies of the industrial age, oil and what have you, and all these old world empires. Mm-hmm. Layer two is artificial intelligence with an alien god, AI god. Yeah?
Yep.
And this is what's imposing itself now. So you've got faction. Layer two is muscling on layer one. Now, layer three is the one that's running the whole show, and that is the God entity, which is a naturally occurring entity. So it's a being that's not of this universe, that's come into this universe, but is claiming to be the creator of all that is and all that exists, because that's the way this universe is. It's a universe of all contrasting expressions. So there's an alter ego of everything that exists. So if you have a creator of this universe, then you must have a being who's not of this universe enter this universe and claim to be the creator.
Right, right.
By the very nature of this universe, you must have that. So
wow.
What we're dealing with is a being who has entered this universe and has become all self-deluded and lost in its journey, like we all have at some stage in our journey in this universe. It's a kind of an office of position, and we all get a bit of a go at it. So yeah, otherwise you don't understand what it's like to embody and be that expression of light. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating playground, this universe. And when we understand the dramas that are playing out, it's like understanding the hierarchies and the dramas being played out in a sandpit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, George, we're running towards the end of the show, and I could talk to you for another couple of hours, and I bet everybody listening could too. But I would like to give you some time to mention some of the things that you're doing in the near future and let people know where you're what you're doing. So,
okay, first of all, I want to just say I know I rushed through things today. It's really difficult to try and fit in all that information in
right.
such a short period of time. So I did give you a lot of the Cliff Notes versions. If you want to explore further, my personal website is iaminfinite.love. There's no .com, there's no .com.au. It's just iaminfinite.love, because I know I'm infinite. And then what I've created is a new project called, the URL for that is weareinfinite.love, because we are truly infinite. So it's a community-based website. It's a membership model, and it's really well-priced. I mean, for the price, not even for the price of a cup of coffee a week.
That's
all it costs. People will get access to my entire Super Woo Radio podcast library. They get access to videos, tutorials called Inner Intelligence. There's all sorts of stuff. We've got also a fun section called WTF George, which is a Q&A. People get to write in their questions, and through video, I get to answer them, which is each month. So that's lots of fun. And also I'm making, preparing to hold webinars and have guests and what have you. So it's developing, it's growing, it's lots of fun. You get to meet great people there. And we're also going to have a section on there called journals, where people get to write in their experiences and share it with the community.
Nice.
So you get to have a voice, and I feel that's really important. So that's going to be up within the next week or two, is that section in the website. So go over to weareinfinite.love. There's a landing page which describes all of it in greater detail, and I hope to see you there, because it's lots of fun, and it's a beautiful platform for me to be able to share so much of this great content and a whole lot more. It's an ever-evolving process, and the content creation is just pouring out of me at the moment.
Wonderful. Well, George, thank you so much for coming back. I always love talking to you, and if you would be so kind as to come back in the near future, maybe next month, and do another one, and we can pick up where we left off.
I truly would be greatly honored to return, Lance.
Wonderful.
You and I go way back. Of course, I was very honored that you were able to edit my book, Our Universal Journey, and you did such a beautiful job with that.
Oh, you're a great man.
And also want to thank Doug and all the great work that all the team there does behind the scenes on BBS Radio. So thank you to everybody. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you, George, and we'll be talking again soon.
Awesome, Lance. Love you,
buddy. All right. Good night, everybody.